That's all communication is finally a post-mortem about what occurred. Why do I move my chair?
All the cameras are focused
back here. What a talk there. This may be a tape that we're going to let out in the world. What I need to talk to you about, if I can ever figure it out, that is what I'm supposed to talk to you about. I made a couple of notes here and I'll probably use them. But it's interesting, there isn't any question that every time we come together, it's sort of like a post-mortem. We're going to discuss yesterday, or last week, or isn't it? Or the, good morning. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Come on and sit down. We had some experiences yesterday, and they were, for the most part, or should I say all part, joyous intrusions of our newly discovered reality into this world.
Yes.
And I was talking to Master Jesus about this and how I read from the New Testament yesterday about what he says that he is. Okay. And how inevitable it will be. Come on, you might as well hear this, because
right.
This is what's happening to you.
Yes.
It cannot not happen. It cannot not happen that the human condition, the conceptual identity on a report of you, okay, I want you to hear this with me, everyone, you, the world, because this may be what's going on in the world. Will say to you, what's a miracle?
Yes.
Say that to me.
What's a miracle?
Yes. Yeah. Now, the only response that you could really possibly give, the response that our Savior Jesus Christ gives, and the response that you give, if you are in a tomb, if you have magnified your self-identity to the point where the expression is possible, the whole basic teachings will be, I am.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Say that to me. I'm going to ask you. Well, I want to hear it. Shall I?
Yes.
You're watching this world?
Yeah, thank you.
Fundamentally, we love reporters or scribes, except that somewhere in their report, they are conceptually incapable. Are you listening to me right there? You, right there in your concepts. I want you to hear this. Okay. What is a miracle is an attempt to conceptually determine what a miracle is. I may get to it for a moment. Incidentally, this is the entire absolute teachings of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it's the entire absolute teachings of the Course in Miracles, which of course was presented by Jesus Christ for you and for you, for everyone in this room.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you the question of the world, what's a miracle? And I want you to say,
I am.
Wait until I ask. you're too eager.
I'm all right, I put on this. I'm a miracle. The miracle for me was I had a clean shirt this morning. Be sensible.
I am.
See, as soon as I try to be sensible in about what I am, okay, I'm the idea that that would be a miracle to me. What? It is a miracle. In the course, Jesus tries to say God is in the coat hanger.
Yes.
That's one of my famous ones, because God is in everything. My miracle this morning was discovering a clean shirt hanging on the certainty of God. But tell me what a miracle is.
I am.
Say it any way you want.
Yes.
The question will remain, what's a miracle?
Yes.
Okay? So, and this went on yesterday, because all illuminant minds know that a miracle, for you sitting right there, a miracle is what you are.
Yes.
A miracle is a totally inclusive realization of the beauty of this world in our relationship with God and each other.
Yes.
Okay? His response, yes, I know, but what's a miracle?
Yes.
I need for you to report to me what a miracle is. It's kind of fun. There was an article, some guy suddenly looked at the New Testament. This is kind of fun. I'll share it with you. Walter? Never, not one single time in all of the New Testament does our Savior Jesus Christ respond to the questions that he's asked. Not once. Every time they ask him something, he responds in an entirely different way, which is precisely what was frustrating our lovely reporter. He is attempting to report an occurrence that literally cannot be reported because the reporting of it is the denial of it or the need to know what it is outside of the parameter of the occurrence. Could you hear that? So when they said to, let's try Jesus once more, and he said, Jesus, give us a sign. This is what he was really saying. Give us a sign of a miracle. Say that.
Give us a sign of a miracle.
Here I am.
Right. Yes.
Thank you. Right. Thank you.
Huh? And he tries to define it. Perhaps he says something like, red in the morning, sailor, take warning. What he says is any sign is going to confirm what you want to hear within your relationship of yesterday and tomorrow. Will you come to see with me that I am your present condition? So I'm standing, I really love this guy. But he absolutely, finally, refused to let us, perhaps, and perhaps he won't, report our emotional experience of the discovery of our shared solution to the problems of the pain and death and loss and love and contradictions of existence and needs to love and searches for needs to find us out. He was not really concerned about that. See, a correspondent who will not some way, and I'm going to send, I'll send this to him, let himself become at least in some manner empathetically involved in our discovery, there would really be no way that he could correspond.
That's right.
Sometimes I was laughing at it. I wish they would have given me, because I teach from my experience.
Yes.
But I teach, it's not my experience, it's what I became because of my experience. And amazingly enough, I'm talking to you out there in the world. There's a lot of you out there who, when you see this video, I think it's, what's the name of that program?
48 Hours.
It may be on 48 Hours. And I want you to see that I was attempting to share with him my experience, not based on his observation of my experience, but his willingness to accept, a little willingness, to accept from me the outcome that we share in an emotional resolution based on the experience.
Yes.
And I know it reduces, yeah, but you were in combat and you did that. That didn't work with him. What surprises me, and I'm talking correspondence for a minute, as some sort of an old newsman. Generally speaking, an interview in depth will acknowledge and empathy with what is being shed by the association, even though there is no participation in it. Let's try something. If you would have given me a war correspondent, if you'd have given me a foreign correspondent, I guess fundamentally what I needed was someone who was willing to admit perhaps they had walked in our shoes.
Yes.
Class?
Yes.
You'd have to somehow acknowledge, I've been through this.
Yes.
And, you know, if I said, I stood at the atomic bomb area where 100,000 people had been wiped out 10 days before, and I was celebrating the victory that I was experiencing as a young Marine, knowing I was going to be saved. There's an ambivalence connected with that that's a genuine experience.
Yes.
It just, yes, I know, but what's a miracle? And I said the beginning of the miracle was my realization that I needed to find a purpose or a reason for you and I to share together the pain and love and loss that we're sharing.
Yes,
yes, I know, but what's a miracle?
Yes.
We're a miracle. We are a miracle in the discovery of the alternative, okay, of a spiritual source of reality that we had all been utilizing in the limitations of ourself and only perhaps found together in the moment of the chaos.
Yes.
They're trying to replicate that a lot in the war movies today. Bless their hearts. I want them to do it. I can't watch them. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't watch them. When I talk to some of the guys, some of them watch them, some of them can't. There's no way you can determine. If you're going to carry it around with you, you're going to carry around the idea of pain and loss and death anyway.
Yes.
My certainty that each one of you in this room is carrying that within your temporal identity is a certainty that I have about the human condition.
Yes.
And all of the travail and the need to find love and the searching for each other and the finding and the loss and the frustration that results in our death finally has been overcome, okay, by us through a, say miracle.
Yes.
Say to me, yes, but what's a miracle?
Yes, but what's a miracle?
I don't know. I don't know. All I can say is, you know, I was tempted to do, and maybe I should have done it, but I haven't ever revealed myself. I probably, when he said, what's a miracle, I should have, out on the grass, taken off my socks. This is a miracle. I want you to I want you to, can you hear me?
Yes.
You particularly should hear me because we are miracle in the observance of ourselves. Virtually everybody in this room, virtually everybody of the 50 million people that might see this have shared miracle moments in the realization of their wholeness. I'm very sure that if I had taken off my side and he said, he's standing, I says, what's a miracle? And I was trying to say, this is. this now, here. This is a miracle. I know that. We've covered that. Now explain to me what a miracle is. What was he covering? Now?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He was reporting from past and future experiences and ignoring the now. That's kind of sad. Because most, I mean, it's sad and I love the guy, but most good correspondences, if you say something, at least will say, what do you mean by that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That opens the possibility of a dialogue, of exchange of an emotion that involves our need to communicate through pain expressed in our mutual understanding of our brother. In case you'd like to know what a teacher of God is, initially, a teacher of God is someone who recognizes his brother's pain.
Yes.
Say that to me.
Yes. A teacher of God is someone who recognizes his brother's pain.
I had a correspondent that says, I'm healed and well, I don't need any of that. Uh-huh. Well, that's fine. I want him to be healed and well. But unless he could somewhere initially understand the dilemma of the need for a solution in the pain that we're revealing, it would be very difficult for him to interview us. In fact, it's impossible. It's impossible to communicate. So, hopefully, I know. There's a simple solution. Yeah, but why are they throwing their hands up, you see? I get to exactly the same problem. In fact, one of them said, why do they throw their hands? And I said, did you ever hear Pentecost? And they said, oh, now I understand. Tons of flame coming down. And I don't know what that means. But at least it was an idea that there'll be some phenomenal associations that occur with this. So what's a miracle?
I am.
Thank you. We are. Okay. The idea in this world of pain and death that for a moment through sharing and acknowledging our brother's pain and rendering the service that is necessary to help him alleviate it, as unsuccessful as it may apparently have turned out to be, at the moment, please hear this. At the moment of the rendering of the service was the miracle.
Yes.
Yes.
And I he said, yeah, but what's a miracle? You're a miracle. I know, but what's a miracle? This is a miracle. I know, but what's a miracle? We are a miracle. I know, but tell me what a miracle is so I can report to the world what a miracle is. A miracle is an interview through our correspondence, an interview of what we are.
Yes.
I will share my interview of myself with your interview of you if just for a moment you will let go of your outer view.
Yes.
Because as long as you hold your outer view and compare it with your inner view, you cannot gain, say to me, insight to your own reality, which cannot not be contained in you.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Where is the kingdom of God?
Right here.
In me.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is in me. I have obtained through a training of the release of the defenses of my outer view a new insight into who I am, which I now share with my previous outer view.
Yes.
You represent my old outer view by determining to find who I am without participating in the revelatory reassociation that constitutes what a miracle is.
Yes.
If I am to presume in this workbook that it says the mind training is to bring you to an entirely new perceptual realization of who you are and what you do. Yes, I know, but what's a miracle? I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in how I can present to a normal world what you are. It's impossible. Because normalcy, okay, could only be based on a determination to justify the normalcy of death. The rediscovery of you through the miracle of the eternal life in our performance of love for each other is what has come about. So maybe it would have done some good to take off my socks. I know this, that the joy of my experience in the devastation of my death that shows me there is no death allows me to come into a now of twicking my toes in the grass that I can remember the joy of the experience when I was 6 years old.
Yes.
Is this all right?
Yes.
In the Course, I keep going to the Course. In the Course, Jesus says that the innocent take over the world.
Yes.
Okay, can you hear this?
Yes.
Blessed are the little ones because they are innocent, and literally innocent, of the need to define their enjoyment.
Yes.
My gosh, I'm in the grass and I'm tricking my toes. Yeah, but is a miracle the kind of grass it is? Is that turf grass or... Be careful you don't cut your feet. You're going to get your feet all dirty and you're going to have to wash. Be careful, you're an over 70-year-old man. What I would have said is, I may be historically over 70, but I keep my feet at about 14. I probably should have done it. I want you to get a close-up of my feet. I don't know what the heck I'm exposed anyway. These are the same feet that had jungle rot on Saipan in 1944. And he says to me, "Oh, were you on Saipan in 44? And I said, "What the hell has that got to do with it?" Can you get me? Were you on Okinawa? I know. I said, "What does that have to do with it? This is a miracle. Look at these feet." Okay. Can you see them? They to me, this little figure. This little piggy's dead. This little piggy had roast beef. And Master Glad always said to me, "I'm glad it wasn't bacon." This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. What did this little piggy do? All the way home? If it's that simple, why don't you just wee-wee yourself? Say to me, "Because I'm afraid of the big bad wolf." It's nice to be heard. So the simplicity of salvation is an involved innocence of the necessity to define the occurrence. By simply letting the occurrence be what it is, I guess, that these feet are a manifestation of some sort of miracle.
Yes.
Because there's absolutely no possibility that whatever. I always learned, take care of your feet.
Yep.
Jesus teaches, take care of your feet. He says, the only part of you that touches the calf. Remember in the upper room?
Yes.
In the upper room, they have a lovely feet wash. Would you guys like to have a feet washing? One of the customs was to honor service, give service to anybody. And of course, Jesus would wash his brother's feet.
Yes.
It's an indication that the only thing impure about you in the upper room would be your contact with the world.
Yes.
Through washing your feet, you will be perfect.
Yes.
And naturally, there's a little story that goes with it that... Peter says, "Wow, Jesus, I'm going to wash you all over." And he says, "Why don't we wash ourselves all over?" And Jesus says, "That isn't necessary."
Yeah.
have the ceremony of washing your feet and the cleansing that will occur in your feet will show you the revelation that I experience in the illumination of my mind.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes.
I need a moment of a location where the entirety of the world, through the conversion of my mind, would show me the world as perfect. Say resurrection.
Resurrection.
So much of the Easter talk is about coming to the upper room and the Passover and the idea that the disciples would be there, the idea of betrayal, and all the things that went with it. And I digress because everybody immediately begins to tell the story as it occurred 2,000 years ago. Rather, our express certainty that the story is what we are right now.
Yes.
In each of us in his own way. This is lovely in the Course in Miracles. In this lessons of the Course, we'll experience exactly the same procedure of the necessity for conversion, the attack on you because of your dedication to God that results in your resurrection. And the idea that our Savior Jesus is here with us now is an important factor, because the idea that Jesus is with us now cannot be experienced except by the sharing of the certainty of the individual Christ who is emerging in the innocence of your dedication to allow yourself to be perfect as God created you. And I taught a little bit. All right? So the way we generally measure a miracle is, say to me, is in happiness.
Yes.
Yeah, but why is everybody here so happy? Because we had a miraculous experience of a direct contact with God. It was a miracle. Yeah, but what's a miracle?
Thank you.
All associations of conceptual ideas are yabbats.
Yes.
A Course in Miracles is a training of no compromise.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with what is compromised. It is the simple certainty that you can't see two worlds.
Yes.
There is no position, this is the whole teaching, theory, between this world and the new world that you can see.
Yes.
Say to me, they do not overlap.
They do not overlap.
Except for the moment that the overlapping occurs. Well, this is very important. It's very important that you see that each instant is where the overlap is. In the Course, Jesus calls this the borderland, doesn't he? He says you're all in a borderland, come on, in your minds between the reality of who you really are and the world that may attempt to hold you in the bondage of who you were.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm telling you, say to me, I ain't that no more.
I ain't that no more.
No matter how you present that to me, I would have to either philosophically or directly in our relationship say to you, you're not the way you were yesterday. Is that true?
Yes.
Well, everybody knows that. Then why do you attempt to define yourself to me the way you were yesterday, so you can predicate what I am going to do in your relationship with me tomorrow?
Yes, thank you.
It's just not possible.
Yes,
thank you.
Is it? So every time in the interview he was saying, well, where are you from and what did you do last week? And are you going to Holland next week? And I said, well, what about now? I'm not interested in you now. Well, come on. I'm only interested in reporting where you were and where you're going. Those of you, it's kind of fun. I really love the guy. Because his assignment was to determine, by an old historic reference, what I was, which would be what I am now, and what I was going to be later on.
Yes.
So that my future could be based on my old association, which is entirely contrary to our entire teaching, isn't it?
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yes.
There's a lovely idea. I believe this is in the scribe Helen Schuckman, who is shown by Jesus the book of life.
Yes.
Okay. And on the left side of the book is yesterday, and on the right side of the book is tomorrow. And she, in her capacity to scribe the course, said, I won't be concerned about that. I'll be concerned about this. His words to her are, that's good progress. He says, because in the binding of the book of life is God. So the binding of God, okay, occurs in the now, not yesterday and not tomorrow. Okay. That's called the yoke or the literally the binding of God. I love that stuff. I love that.
Yes.
He is, that's what we are. It contains everything that could be here or here in a binding of the past and the future into a moment's realization. The New Testament is actually that way. I know that you know that. So the love that you're beginning to feel in the book of life is your certainty that, say, it contains both my past and my future. That's a miracle. I don't have to prognosticate, as a prophet did, my past based on my future in my hope that the Savior will come. Because the prophecy will be in the here and now. So every time they say to Jesus, how can I find this? Where is the kingdom of God? All he can ever say is here and now. Who's the Savior? I am. Yes, we know that, but how did this come about? How did you? He says, no, I am the Savior. Your sole responsibility, if you would like to accept with us the miracle that is progressing with a great deal of rapidity now, in the certainty of who you are, is actually not open to the questioning of the world. Is that all right with you? And we can do this out of the New Testament, but I want you to see with me. Every time you are asked a question about this, it will be in a determination to justify this world. In your illumination, many of us, in the miracle of you, say to me, I discovered that there was no justification for this world. Say it softly.
There was no justification for this world.
I found in my contact with God that what I was justifying, okay, that continued to cause me pain in my determination to exist in yesterday and tomorrow had been alleviated by my little willingness to accept the possibility that here and now was the solution. Where is the solution? Here?
Yes.
You said now. That's good. Is there a difference between here and now? We are sharing the miracle of being here and now. And the reason, I suppose, we're holding this postmortem is because everything died yesterday and today it's alive. So for many of us, many of them who may view and possibly review this day, in that particular sense, yesterday was the resurrection.
Yes.
But if that's true, I'm not really here today at all. This was the purpose in this gathering. I'm only here today to tell you that we are resurrected.
Yes, thank you.
You now have come from the turmoil of outer view, and perhaps the outer viewer is now beginning to accept his own inner view.
Yes.
This will enhance his insight through the light that hopefully we can offer him in the reasonableness of an alternative to his condition. That's what we're all attempting to do. Be reasonable with us. Come and reason with me of the certain security that we come from a single source in the universe.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I know, but what's a miracle? A miracle is my realization that I am perfect as God created me. Yes, but what's a miracle? How do you heal? I heal through the perfection of my mind in the certainty that everything is perfect. Yes, but how do you heal? This is the great dilemma that's experienced in Jesus when he begins to heal and says, rise and be whole, and go and sin no more. That's what's not acceptable. The idea of healing in its entirety eliminates the necessity for disease in its entirety. So the purpose of the Course in Miracles, and people are really going to begin to read it, is to say very simply, that say to me, a miracle is natural.
A miracle is natural.
Going around us all the time in all places is the single miracle of the conversion of our space-time to the certainty of eternal life. We call it the resurrection. And it's going on, and we're glad you came here today. I want you to understand this. I enjoyed yesterday. I enjoyed talking. Because it's been a while for me since I've talked to a human. I don't mean to say that, but you know, I just spent 14 years in the woods. Sort of. And it's kind of funny. He says, well, do you travel around and teach a lot? I said, no, not really. He says, are you a religious movement that's going to establish? And I said, no, not really. I'm teaching you to be you. He says, yeah, but what is it you're trying to do? I teach you to be you. With the admission that you're going to be you no matter what you do anyway. So if I can get you to admit you're you, you can immediately suffer all the pain of being you, which you have rejected on your brother. You can then love him, and just for a moment, I really tried to get him to walk in my shoes. He didn't have to walk in my shoes because he was healed. This is the whole idea. And that's okay. It's a fun thing to see that we recognize each other both through problems and solutions. This is the whole basis of the teaching. And since we have found the ultimate solution to the problem, which everyone listening to this has found in moments of miracle incidences when just for a moment he experienced love. And it would make absolutely no difference what the problem was. It could occur in war where a lot of fear came in that could be overcome through love, or it could occur in love itself with a moment of a nostalgic, reminiscent realization that indeed we had met before. And had shared moments of love that could now be repeated without regard to yesterday and tomorrow. So that when we go out into the world now, when we're questioned about our yesterday and tomorrow, perhaps we'll be able to say, let's be now together. Just for a moment, let's lay down our intense defenses of our old karma, our intense defenses of the continuity of our minds that guarantee us a yesterday based on our necessity to die tomorrow. And then, come on, you, get into this. I'm talking about you. You begin to observe me as though I'm some sort of phenomenon. Perhaps that's the way the world will look at me. But I want you to see that if you can't share yourself with me, what are you going to share? Say to me, I'm afraid to share myself.
I'm afraid to share myself.
Love is letting go of the fear to share yourself. You'll find me guilty and you'll hate me. No, I won't. I love you. That's true. All of us guard ourselves, don't we? So our personality, our ego, is based on presenting This lovely guy yesterday was doing exactly that. He has found the secure. I don't need healing.
That's right.
And I said, that's good. There's no way that I could contradict the manner in which he solved that problem in his own mind. Because the basis of our reality is to continue to solve the problem. So I said to him, I couldn't do that. I said, as hard as I tried to solve the problem, this is for everybody in this room, I was unsuccessful. I see you're more successful at maintaining your identity of who you are than I was. And I discovered that in my weakness was my strength, but don't misinterpret that. In the weakness of my inability to find the solution to my problem was the grace and love of God.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't have to do that yet. I'm getting along pretty well. Good. You don't need me. This is finally for those of us, and there's a lot of you out in the world. This is for those of us in the search for what life is, have finally begun to say, well, this is futile.
Yes.
I love you more than anything in the universe, yet I'm going to lose you. And finally you said, this is ridiculous. I've had enough of the loss of based on a false God. There must be a God of eternal love who will allow me to acknowledge that I've been a liar from the beginning. Little Bible. Jesus says, your father has been a liar from the beginning. He has never told you one thing of truth because he has justified your separation. And that's what this world is. So that's going to be that little talk we have for today. And then we'll continue to communicate together. I just wanted I wanted this to be a part of what might go out into the world. Because what I really wanted to share was my certainty of my love for you based on our love for each other that was in no way in regard to any necessity that I defined what the miracle is. It's my realization that at this moment our minds will express in the certainty of a single mind, here's Jesus, certainty of a single mind, that I can share that mind with you now, and we will become one-minded together.
Yes.
That's a miracle.
Yes.
Everyone out there in the world has had these moments of correspondences of mind that were reduced in time to definitions of the body. Mm-hmm. And attempts are always made to take that moment of holiness and share it in the separation and feel the frustration of the inability through judgment to communicate the truth of who we are. So we've laid down our arms at least sufficiently. We've expressed, as perhaps that correspondent would do now, a little willingness to hear of the newness of us that has emerged because of our experiences without regard to the necessity to define what the experience was. The simple admission that every experience we could ever have in all of space-time could only be to the direction that we are headed in our return to heaven. This is a journey of a return to heaven. It is an ordeal that will include everything that could ever happen, will ever happen, or can ever happen in our ideas of space-time. It begins with a fundamental admission of the necessity for an alternative to this world that can be expressed through a continuing prayer of relief by determination not to identify ourselves, but to rather let God be our source.
Yes.
This is a discipline. Those of you who believe I am not sustaining your discipline are sadly mistaken. I know that this requires, this is what this workbook is for.
Yes.
I know that this requires you take the time somewhere, each moment, to say, no, there's an alternative. He said a very interesting thing to me yesterday, the reporter. He said, well, what do you do beside this? I said, well, this is all I do. And that was absolutely not comprehensible. He said, yes, I know, but what else do you do? I said, I don't do anything. This is what I do. Yeah, but don't you, no, I don't. The conversion of the world depends on the conversion of my mind. This is kind of a good talk. This is the word, but. Yeah, but what else, who are you besides the Son of God? Yes, I know you're the Son of God, but who are you really? I know you're the Savior of the world, but who are you really? He did this with Jesus from the very beginning of the New Testament. They keep asking him this question, and he never responds to them. He either gives them a parable, which hopefully they would understand, you know, about what the kingdom of God is, or he simply offers them himself. He says, Thomas, have I been with you so long that you would question a sign necessary in your mind to know of my perfection in association with you? He says, I am here and now, being your Savior here and now.
Yes.
I cannot be your Savior yesterday. Huh? Had you used me yesterday, you wouldn't be here.
Yes.
I cannot be your Savior tomorrow, since if you're saved with me now, there won't be any.
Yes.
And I know it begins with tricking your toes in the grass. And you say, well, gee, I wish that I could trick my toes in the grass. My response to you through the Course in Miracles, when you're sitting in the middle of the grind of your life, whether you're in the stock room or in the garbage can, whatever the hell you're doing, just for a moment, twick your toes in the ground. Will you do that with me? Let that moment of happiness be revealed to you without the necessity to identify the circumstance under which it occurred. Because you've learned from me that the world is in your mind. Okay? The world is a result of how you view it. Okay? The world isn't causing you anything. You are the cause of the outworld that changes when you change your own insight. Is this okay?
Yes.
So you have made new observations of yourself which are very evident to me. And I am certain will be very evident to the world as we go from a post-mortem dead yesterday to a certainty that while we may reminisce about you trumping my king, in bridge that's called a post-mortem. We don't play bridge anymore. But after a bridge game, we would always hold a post-mortem. Well, if you hadn't led the game, those of you who play understand. Yeah, I know, but if you'd have led the queen instead, well, if you'd bid no trump to begin with, that's called a post-mortem. But it will always be based on whether you won or lost the game. Bridge is a very interesting thing. Everything you ever need to know about life is in bridge. Of course, it's in hearts, too. In fact, it's in running. In fact, it's in poker. Can you hear this with me? It's in every game that we play.
Yes.
Except chess. It's not in chess. The miracle is that you understand it's a game.
Yes.
Then you can play this game in the joyful realization that it's a game.
Wow.
You came here and you're playing a game. And whatever you do, if you'll watch one of the videos where Jesus says, you play the game of death. The one thing he adds, and we're going to end this now, and this is for you out in the world, okay? And this is for you there, just for a moment. That correspondent out on the grass, when I twicked the grass and said now, he refused to laugh.
Yes.
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 Yes, I know, but what is this? It's this. The miracle is the joy of being alive.
Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you.
You felt my joy of being alive, and you say, well, what are you crying about? I'm crying over the joy of being alive. I'm crying over the joy of finally meeting you again after all this. Well, we always cry at welcome home. It's been a very long time.
Yes.
What did we remember to do? Laugh.
Yes.
We laugh at the idea that we would be old and sick and dying and confined to this carbon, hydrogen, molecular crap of this world. Pardon me. It's just not true. And we've discovered it through a miracle. And we share the truth of what we are in our dedication that, in fact, we're not a body. We're not confined to this little, Jesus calls it an infinite maze. An infinite maze where we just keep going around in a circle. And most of us in life finally say, I'm just going around in circles. Well, we're sharing the frustration of being sick and tired of coming to a spot in the maze where the alternative is, and always going in the wrong direction. Okay. The mistake that I'm going to confess to, as a prank, I turned the sign around. You don't like that. What happened was, there was a sign, this is the prank. I'm sorry. There was a sign that said, this way to heaven. And we were all just running by and turning, and I went, ha, 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 ha. So, and it was a misdemeanor. It was just a youthful misdemeanor. But see how rapidly the mistake or misdemeanor turned into a capital crime. I mean, it's like you begin to accumulate parking tickets. And by not responding to the misdemeanor, it becomes a felony. And suddenly it takes on a very serious aspect. I end up doing parables. That's a good one. Come back to where the sign says and say, there's something wrong with that. Okay. When you say there's something wrong with this and stand there for a moment, I'll quick come back and say, boy, am I glad to see you.
Yes, thank you.
I made a mistake. I turned the sign the wrong way. And you'll say to me, so you're the guy. And I'll say, that was me. And you'll say to me, do you know all the problems that you caused me by turning the sign around? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
Yes.
So you're standing right there, realizing that I'm responsible for the, I call it a mistake, not a sin. Obviously, it's not a sin. Okay, it would be a sin to you. It's not a sin. So at that point, you must make the decision whether at least initially to forgive me or simply go back out. You can't get even with me anymore because the sin has been corrected. Jesus said time lasted but a moment in your mind. Jesus says the thought of separation occurred in the mind of God and was repaired before it was thought.
Yes.
You hear that?
Yes.
That is the sign with, never mind. But I want you to see, basically, if you'll stand with me for a moment.
Yes.
I'm gonna try realignment.
Thank
and
you.
Jesus used the word kata, the realignment. If you'll stand at where the sign is pointing in the wrong direction, your realignment will be very simple.
Yes.
For a moment when you go in the right direction, you will retain a bias for the past.
Yes.
You'll be just off center a little bit. That's called sin.
Yes.
Jesus calls that. You're off center.
Yes.
You're off the mark.
Yes.
I will, Jesus in his resurrection, I'll stay with you at that point until you realign yourself.
Thank you.
That will give you a direction not only to a heaven, but an inclusion of the old maze and the new maze.
Yes.
But until you see a right, you can't see the new world that is at that point.
Yes.
Is all of the world at that point?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
geometrically, it's described as any point is the entirety of the circle.
Yes.
Okay. Can you see that?
Yes.
If pi would have been 3, we wouldn't be here. I'll let you think about it. Because the circle would have been perfectly defined by a point.
I always see.
Oh, sure. You'd have been gone. Anywhere you went in the circle would have been the point. I'm not sure who that is. Maybe it's Euclid or somebody. But it's very obvious to me that any point would contain the entirety of the circle.
Yes.
The factor of your limitation imposed on the circumscription that you insist is real, or say that reporter insisted is real, is denying him access to our expanding circles that try to include him in and are rejected by him in the determination to hold on to the circle. So we're going to wrap this up. And we want you to know that in the reunion that we have shared here, we're in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we all love it here. And we love you, and we thank you for your hospitality. And we thank the correspondents who have been willing to even consider the offering of what we have become certain of in our minds. There's all sorts of talk about Second Coming and the ending of the millennium and everything that goes with the ending of the circumstantial association. And we love it all.
Thank you.
All we want to tell you is that coming to eternity cannot end in a catastrophe.
Yes.
No matter how determined you are to express it as some sort of Armageddon and catastrophe, that's just not possible.
Yes.
You are going to be included in the resurrection, no matter how catastrophic you believe it is. You were talking yesterday, no one thought it more catastrophic than we have in our own personal conversion. Thank you for putting up with me and perhaps my fervency. I want you to know that since my illumination, I live each day and each moment and each second with the certainty of my love for you and our love for each other. In that certainty, we express the origin of our Creator of love, who shows us that we no longer have to share the conflict of our separation.
Yes, thank you.
It evolves to the certainty that there is no world.
Yes.
And that this world is over and it passed away.
Sure.
And that I am with you now in the moment of your realization. And that moment, realization, that moment is going on right now. And will go on anytime out there. You decide with me and with us that this is what you want to hear.
Yes.
That this is indeed what you want to be true.
Yes, it is.
The sole requirement for you to hear this message is that you want it to be true.
Yes.
And your little willingness to allow it to occur will be enhanced by all of the minds that we share together in helping this to come.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, I have found the solution in an alternative to my previous disposition to organize and die. And we're glad that you're here with us now again. And to all of us here, if you would just for a moment say, we're happy that you're here.
We're happy that you're here.
Tell them,
woo!
Yes. Tell them out there that we're glad that you've come to share this with us. Our prayer says, Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your allowance that the report of the miracle, Second Coming, I guess, the report of the miracle that our Savior Jesus Christ is now present with us through this workbook and the mind training that he has facilitated in us is now being allowed to take into a place where there was the most fear that this is true.
Yes.
We Okay? What you are most afraid of is your perfection. What you have been afraid to hear from me is the miracle of my certainty that you are whole and perfect as God created you, and that it occurs through a miracle in your mind. Yes, but what's a miracle? Rather than, yes, I felt a new insight. I felt a new experience that just for a moment I examined, but I feel better about myself than I did before. So it could be possible that my solution is actually in me. Do you mean? If you said that, I'd have been very surprised and happy. It wasn't necessary that he believe it. It was only necessary that he acknowledge the possibility of it. And if you can't get someone to acknowledge the possibility, there would be very little I could do. No, the kingdom of heaven is in you. You are the cause of this. There is no other cause, and I'm just back to teaching, which I'm not going to do. If I can get you to see that you are the cause of your own pain, the solution will be very evident and available to you at this second. Say amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for showing us that all of the pain and loneliness and death that we felt was just being inflicted on ourselves by ourselves. That our brother indeed was not the cause of our pain. And even more certainly, God was not inflicting pain on us by sending his son to be tortured and killed in order to justify us. We no longer believe that. We know that you are a God of eternal love and happiness, and through the conversion and resurrection of our brother Jesus Christ, we can and did and must come to know who we are. I went back to that finally because we have a 2,000-year-old tradition of holy instances based on momentary illuminations of the scripture of this Bible. We talked just a moment about what happiness there was for us yesterday to be able to pick up the story of Easter and see it for a moment in an entirely different frame, because it was no longer objective or a story which would have to be crucifixion. But as Jesus says, the realization that I am with you and risen now, so that when you look at the crucifixion this Easter, guys, you will see it as a resurrection rather than death. It's really that simple. Will you please read chapter 20 of A Course in Miracles? That begins, this is Palm Sunday. And I want the world to read that before Palm Sunday, so you better get busy. Otherwise, you won't read it till after Palm Sunday. We'll be seeing you in just a moment. Those of you who stay here for just a moment, we'll take just a short break. And we're very happy that you joined us after death.
Yes, thank you.
And brought with you your death so that you could be alive with us today.
Thank you.
And now we sit and invite death in and laugh and say, you're ridiculous. Come on, be with me for a moment and let me show you what love is. And he says, boy, am I glad to hear that.
Yes.
Why was he not there before? You rejected him. Yes. And by rejecting him, you gave him life.
Yes.
Your acceptance of him as being dead is happily received by you who were dead and are now alive through the grace of our love for each other and God. We'll be seeing you. We're going to take stands off. We'll be seeing you in a little bit. Say to me, God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
What then is a miracle? Why, of course, a miracle is what I am. I am God's Son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of His love. In me is His creation, sanctified and guaranteed eternal life.
In me is his love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established without opposite. I am the holy home of God himself. I am the heaven where his love resides. I am his holy sinlessness itself, for in my purity abides his own. In these final days of this sojourn into time that we gave to God together, you and I, we found a single purpose that we shared. And thus you joined with me, so what I am are you as well. The truth of what we are is not for words to speak of nor describe, yet we can't explain and realize our function here, and words can speak of this and teach it too if we exemplify the words in us. We are the bringers of salvation. We accept our part as saviors of the world, which through our joint forgiveness is redeemed, and this our gift is therefore given us. We look on everyone as brother and perceive all things as kindly and as good. We do not seek a function that is past the gate of heaven. Knowledge will return when we have done our part. We are concerned only with giving welcome to the truth. Ours are the eyes through which Christ's vision sees a world redeemed from every thought of sin. Ours are the ears that hear the voice for God proclaim the world as sinless. Ours the minds that join together as we bless the world. And from the oneness that we have attained, we call to all our brothers, asking them to share our peace and consummate our joy. We are the holy messengers of God who speak for him and carrying his word to everyone whom he has sent to us, we learn that it is written on our hearts. And thus our minds are changed about the aim for which we came and what we seek to serve. We bring glad tidings to the Son of God who thought he suffered. Now is he redeemed. And as he sees the gate of heaven stand open before him, he will enter in and disappear into the heart of God. Today the peace of God envelops me, and I forget all things except his love. Father, I wake today with miracles correcting my perception of all things, and so begins the day I share with you, as I will share eternity, for time has stepped aside today. I do not seek the things of time, and so I will not look upon them. What I seek today transcends all laws of time and things perceived in time. I would forget all things except your love. I would abide in you and know no laws except your law of love. And I would find the peace which you created for your Son, forgetting all the foolish toys I made as I behold your glory and my own. And when the evening comes today, we will remember nothing but the peace of God. For we will learn today what peace is ours when we forget all things except God's love.